Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we begin. I have the first section divided 1 through 18. It shows the necessity, first of all, of heart or secret religion, and disapproves a religion that is outward only. And so in the first particular, we have giving to the poor. Let it be done in secret without fanfare or recognition. And we believe that the giving of tithes and offerings is an act, according to Matthew chapter 6, of private worship. This is why we do not pass a plate. You have a box in the back of the church, and there are many ways that the church is able to receive your tithes and your offerings, but they ought not, those means ought not to be public means. They ought to be private means. And this is what Jesus speaks about here. Otherwise, how is it possible not to let your right hand know what your left is doing? Now, I know that some churches pass a plate, and that in that they also believe and teach that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, and so on. And perhaps that's true. But I would say that having a box in the back and people going up to that various points of the day and dropping in their tithes and offerings, to my understanding, is more in keeping with the Sermon on the Mount here. Remember what Jesus is speaking against, the things that he specifically mentions, and that is those who give alms either in the synagogues or in the streets. That there was some... Oh, I don't know if we would call it some obscenity that went on when people would stand and cast their money with great pomp and fanfare into the treasury. And then there was the widow with the two mites, you remember, and Jesus said that she gave more than all who gave monetarily, much more, because she gave out of her penury, out of her poverty. So the other thing that Jesus says here, that he says several times in this sermon, that's important to remember, he says they have their reward. They have what they aimed at. They aimed at the respect, the honor of men, and that's what they got, and that's all they got. And as the guy said, that and $10 will buy you a drink down the street. Right? They didn't have anything to show for the good works that they had done because of the manner in which they went about those good works. So notice, not only are good works required, but the manner about which we go in the good works is also something that needs to come under examination or scrutiny. Second thing that our Lord talks about is prayer. Now, we might say that there is such a thing as public prayer, and that's true, there is. There's also such a thing as secret prayer. And so what Jesus is saying here is not to take your secret prayer and make it public prayer so that you receive, again, the reward of the respect and honor of men. Because if that's all you want, that's all you can have. And you will get that. People will think you're spiritual. But the Lord knows better. And that's the point. And so Jesus tells us that if we will pray, and that prayer that he's talking about here is a secret prayer. Yes, there is such a time as public prayer, and there may even be time of public giving. Right? And let's just think of it this way. If the church had a particular charity that we were supporting, then what we would do is everyone would know how much had come in that had been earmarked beyond the tithes and offerings of God's people, because we believe that the tithes, you know, the tithe is what God receives. That's his due. You want to give over and above the tithe, then you can designate that. But the tithe belongs to God. And so, over and above the tithe, if you'd like to designate money to a particular charity, you know, we had a couple that we're working with trying to get that or those relationships formalized. Hopefully, Reverend Atala will be with us sometime this spring, so he can speak to us about Middle Eastern Reformed Fellowship a little bit more minutely and closely. So if we can get all of that organized, and there are gifts from the church that would go as a public offering, a public assistance, well, then everybody's going to know what that is. What they'll never know, though, is how much every individual person gave. But everyone will know how much came into that fund and how much went out to them. Right? Because that's a public gift. And we ought to be careful that in those public times of prayer and public times of giving, that doesn't blow us up into pride or blow us up into any kind of arrogance or anything like that. But personally speaking, Jesus makes these things private. With regard to your persons, your personal giving, your personal prayers, those things are secret. And they ought not to be made public so as to become the object of pride. And so that's what Jesus is saying. And he's speaking about the motivations as to why we do these things. Secondly, then, our Lord gives us this pattern for prayer. If you compare Matthew 6 and Luke 6, you have the Lord's Prayer given in those two different circumstances. And yes, I believe those were different circumstances. Here, Jesus incorporates it into his sermon in Luke chapter 6. It seems to be in response to the question, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And so we have then the two prayers that are, for all intents and purposes, identical, except for the doxology here. And if you have a Bible that doesn't have the doxology at the end of the Lord's Prayer, then get a new one, because some Bibles are missing that. Okay? All right, so then we have this pattern for prayer, and we'll not take the time to break everything down, but remember that it is not only a pattern for prayer, but it is a prayer itself. Our confession makes it very clear that not only is it a pattern, but it is a prayer. That the words of the Lord's Prayer can be used as a prayer. And brothers and sisters, you know this. This is what we do every Lord's Day in the morning service. We have a time where we actually, the requests that we offer are through the Lord's Prayer. And then at the end, we all pray the Lord's Prayer together. Because in the Lucan version of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, now, when all of you pray, all of you say, and then he goes on to teach them that particular prayer. And so we believe that the Lord's Prayer is used in the worship service by the command of Jesus Christ. And that's why we use it. Okay, so it is a pattern for prayer. It teaches us about how to ask for certain things. And it is also a worthy prayer itself and ought to be used. Moving on then to fasting. Our Lord puts his target once again on the Pharisees, those practitioners of a very public worship. And they had that habit of taking private worship and by their pride making it public. And so when they fasted, they made sure everyone knew that they fasted by not dressing themselves up like they normally would. And when people would pass by them and other such strange things that would let people know that, well, these folks must be really spiritual because they're fasting. And so what did they get for their fast? What they got was not to be heard on high, but what they got instead was that they were heard by the men around them. Ooh, what a spiritual man he is or she is. And that's the reward they got. Remember that fasting is an opportunity that God gives us to afflict our souls before him. And that when we fast, if you remember twice in the book of Zechariah, it says, and when ye fasted in the fifth and the seventh month, did ye fast unto me, even unto me. Notice that our fasts are unto the Lord, just like our prayers are unto the Lord, and our giving is unto the Lord, such that we ought not to be trumpeting them in and about so that they can be seen of men, that we might receive the respect and honor of men, because we ought to be seeking the honor that comes only from God. All right, so the next section then, beginning in verse 19, is that section that has to do with true riches and where they are laid up. I like Francis Schaeffer on this. Francis Schaeffer, I don't remember the name of the sermon now. It was a sermon that I read of his a long time ago, but he does speak about what it means to, if you remember in the parable of the unjust steward, make friends by the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into eternal habitations. Jesus says here that we ought not to lay up treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and steal. Instead, we ought to lay up treasure in heaven. And how do you lay up treasure in heaven? By taking the good things of this world that the Lord gives you and counting them as those which are yours on loan to be used for His kingdom's sake, and to use them for His kingdom's sake in every instance as much as it is within your power, instead of spending things on your own pleasures and so on. This is what the Lord would have us to do. So then we ought to be known. We ought to have a reputation as a generous people, a giving people, people who lend to those who are in need, people who give to those who are in need, and so on. Not people who are desirous of other people's things, people content with our own place and our station, and so on. And so we ought to make use of all the good things that God gives us for the kingdom's sake. He speaks to singularity, sincerity in the way we use those things when he talks about your eye being single. And so in that very context, he says, now, when you give, make sure that you're giving with a single eye, not a duplicitous eye, that you have some ulterior motive in mind. You give in order to receive again or something like that. And he goes on in verse 24 to speak about God and mammon, two potential masters, right? No man can serve two masters is what Jesus says. Remember that when we talk about ultimacies, there's only one ultimacy. There's only one that can rule. There's only one that can have sway. You can't say, well, mammon has sway up to here and then God has sway beyond that. It doesn't work. It's a contradiction of the definition of what it means to have ultimacy. And so either God will have ultimacy or mammon will have ultimacy. You cannot serve two masters. You'll either love the one, hate the other, cleave to one, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So our Lord Jesus tells us then that we ought to serve God rather than mammon. And that all, and what is mammon? Mammon is a Chaldean word. It's the personification of riches and all the desire that comes with riches. That's what mammon is. All right, so then Jesus tells us what that looks like. He doesn't just leave us to wonder what that looks like. He tells us what that looks like. And several times your King James Version translates a particular word in Greek as take no thought. Let's not take that too literally, because literally what it means is do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't have worry. And so what Christ Jesus is telling us here is if God is your God and mammon is not, then you will not worry about tomorrow. Because you know that your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things and will supply them. Remember earlier, Jesus said in this passage that your Father knows what you need even before you ask. And so the sovereignty of God and the omniscience of God is not left on the back burner in prayer. The Lord already knows what we need before we ask. And so Jesus tells us to go ahead and ask. But ask with a particular mindset that God is our God and not mammon, so we don't worry about the things of this life. Instead, we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and understand that in seeking first His kingdom, we will have every earthly thing that we need. And that's what it means to serve God and not mammon. That's how that works out in how we live. So he talks about food. He talks about shelter. He talks about clothing. And he says, why are you striving after all of these things? When you do, when you place these as the motivation for doing what you do, you behave yourselves like unbelievers after these things the Gentiles seek. And that's what he means when he says that. You're behaving like unbelievers. Because unbelievers who know not God don't trust God to provide them all the good things of this life that they need to live. He says, if you want all of the good things of this life to live, and you want all of those things without worry, then seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So get the focus where it belongs, and God will take care of you. He promises to do that. And if you are deprived of everything, of anything at all, it is because God doesn't think you need it. He's helping you. He's saving you from covetousness. He's delivering you from an inordinate tie to something that you would love too much if you had it, perhaps, and that's why He's denying it to you. Right? And then sometimes God gives us superabundance. He does that to test, and He does that so that you will be generous and cast your bread upon the waters and be of service to others with the largesse that God has given you. Remember that money is but a tool in the hand of God. Our job is to seek first the kingdom and the righteousness that is wrapped up in that kingdom, and let God provide for us the things in this world. And so Jesus tells us that there's no such thing as being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Because if we're heavenly minded in the right way, the Lord will provide everything that we need for life in this earth. Right? All right. We can close up there. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.